When I was 25 years old, I was very unhappy with my health. And one of the biggest problems was that I didn't really have any physical fitness and I had very poor nutrition, but I could not breathe well at high altitudes. And I really loved to ski. And I would get winded just at the top of the lift. But prior to this, you know, a couple years before, my doctor gave me the cholesterol talk and he told me that I had high cholesterol. And so my immediate reaction to that knowledge was to stop taking cholesterol tests. And he also, you know, he's from South Africa, so he had a very stern manner. And he said, well, Taplin, tell me a little bit about your exercise program. And my question to him was, what exercise program? So when I started grad school and I started to study anatomy and biology, previously I'd been in electrical engineering, I started to really appreciate how fragile and complex the human body is. And then I really decided that I needed to do something about my health. So I tried some disgusting things. The first thing was I started making these smoothies out of all vegetables. And not only did they smell horrible, look horrible, they tasted horrible, and they basically made you afraid to eat. So that didn't last very long. But I had learned that fiber lowers cholesterol. So instead of getting my fiber from these smoothies, I decided that I would drink liquid fiber supplements. Those activate the gag reflex. But then I hit a milestone, and I discovered the turkey diet. So I started eating turkey sausage, turkey hamburgers, turkey sandwiches. I made these great turkey tacos with like ground turkey and chili powder. They tasted so good. I converted everybody around me to eating these. And the most amazing thing about this diet was that every single piece of turkey bacon looked exactly identical to the other piece. And so whatever machine makes a turkey bacon is just very accurate, especially with the little the little pink coloring and, I mean, little lighter part. It's really very nice. But one of my friends told me that I should read this book, The China Study, because I was so interested in nutrition. He told me it was all about nutrition and I would like it. And I did really like this book. And I imagine that it must have had the effect on me that an Ayn Rand novel has on a young, idealistic libertarian. Because, I mean, this was my Ayn Rand novel. It had a clear scientific thesis. It wasn't trying to sell you a diet. It just said that populations of people that historically eat almost exclusively plants have virtually no incidence of heart disease. And so I decided, well, I think I'm going to try to join that group of people. And the first thing I did was, you know, break things up into smaller parts. I decided that I would cut dairy. And this really did improve my energy levels. I was surprised at how much more energy I had. And the biggest change was that over the next years, I only had one sinus infection, and it didn't require antibiotics. Previous to this, I would have more than one sinus infection a year, including one on a trip to Europe that I ended up in the emergency room for because I was in so much pain I was incoherent. And so this really was a surprise to me that I didn't have these infections as often. And I decided that I would also try to cut the meat. So basically, when I went to the grocery store, I didn't buy it, and I no longer prepared meals with it, and I didn't order it in restaurants. But it's still really hard to turn down home-cooked meals from family and friends, so I still would, you know, have those until they learned that I didn't eat meat anymore, and they would prepare meals that I could also eat. But it was really hard to learn how to cook these meals because I was so used to cooking my previous way. So I looked for a cookbook, and one I found was called Engine 2. And it appealed to me because it was written by a Texas firefighter. And he wrote it with other firefighters at his firehouse, basically to cook based on plants and lower everybody's cholesterol. And I really, really enjoyed the black bean burgers in that cookbook. And I just started making them like every other day, and I was eating them all the time. And this was a big, big shock for me because I was a Whataburger addict. And for those of you that don't know what Whataburger is, it's sort of like In-N-Out Burger in California or Shake Shack here in the Northeast, except a little bit less pretentious. But it is the burger joint in Texas. And so I, when I was in college, I had a printout of all the Whataburger locations in the state. Just so, I had my own, like, Whataburger Siri, just so we could always know where the closest Whataburger was on our road trips. And it was about this time that I started to notice a problem. I'm kind of a data geek, and I wear this watch that tracks heart rate. And I started to notice that my heart rate was getting really low. So I started Googling. And I found out that I probably had either a serious infection in my heart muscle or a severe thyroid problem. And, you know, on WebMD, you can find 10 life-threatening conditions for every one symptom you have. So I decided that I would do some more Googling. And I found a sports medicine website that said that heart rates close to 50 BPM are normal. And previously, I knew that heart rates was between 60 and 80. So I started to become more comfortable with having this lower heart rate until I went to watch the Ender's Game movie. And in a particularly boring part of the movie, I looked down at my watch, and my heart rate was 39 BPM. And I thought, oh my God, I'm dying of boredom. So luckily I was in a theater that serves beer, and I reached towards the red button and I touched it, and I got a shiner, and alcohol always increases my heart rate. So I survived the rest of the movie. One of the hardest parts of eating a plant-based diet is the constant questioning from your friends and family, who all immediately turn into nutrition experts and scientists. And they want to know where I get my protein. And sometimes the expressions on their face are just, you can tell how worried they are about me, that I'm probably wasting away and on the verge of a health collapse. And I've just learned to very calmly and politely say that all living things are made of protein, including plants, and that some plants are very high in protein, such as beans and rice, and that even some plants like spinach have more protein per 100 calories than almost any food. So it's still hard in home-cooked meal situations, friends or family, to turn a meal down. With immediate family and close friends, I can do it. But one of my friends in grad school had been dating a girl from India and had been courting her for some time. And at one time we were walking back from class, he told me, "Taplin, there are some things in life that are more important than science." And this was kind of an ominous statement. So I knew that something was following it, and I just kind of prepared myself. And he told me that he had gotten engaged and that he's going to travel to India to get married at his village. And I said, well, I was, you know, in the excitement, I said, okay, I'll go too. And this was a very easy commitment for me to make, because I immediately followed it up with, if I get that scholarship I applied for. And I knew that I wasn't getting the scholarship, so it was a very easy way to kind of share in the celebration. And then I got the scholarship. So I applied for a visa and bought my plane ticket, and he helped me get my Indian Railways ticket. He insisted that I would fly to his village from Delhi, but I said, no, I'm riding the train. And so I got my rail ticket, and after a multi-day journey, including 10 hours on the train, we were delayed by fog, and I hear this really loud banging on the train door. Taplin, get off the train! Get off the train! And previously, this very nice lady who spoke perfect English in my car had told me that my stop was here and it was time to get off the train. So I was fully prepared. And in small towns, you have like the amount of time on the metro to get off with your luggage. So I opened the door, and there he was with his cousin, and we walked to the taxi, and he immediately greets me with a 5-gallon jug of purified water and toilet paper. And so I knew that I had a really good friend at this point. And when we get to his home about midnight, the whole family greets me, and I sit down to have dinner. They've even put a table, and they bring in this giant platter of baked chicken. And I really love Indian food, and I knew that his family was very traditional Hindu, so I was so excited about the spicy food and all the vegetables and starches. I said, this is not Hindu. And I ate it, of course, and it was my first meal of chicken in probably over 2 years. And I survived till the morning, and I asked my friend, can you explain to your family that I don't eat meat? And he's like, oh, I've already told them. They don't believe me. And so that morning, I ate breakfast, all the very spicy vegetables, as much as I could, and the bread. And then at lunch, the same thing. And I just kept getting served over and over again, because unless you protest, you continue to get food. And at that point, they really, decided that I was crazy, because every foreigner eats meat. So you all may think that I'm crazy too, but plants are how I get my Rocky Mountain high, and I'm not talking about smoking them. I'm talking about being able to ski at high altitudes without getting winded.